proud of it. We should be going again. Going around, anyway.
But
is this the mic here?
I showed the fact that they had a method of closure of open range, that they admitted to the fact of open range. And that was the Supreme Court of Alaska is still using that decision.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Don't tell Rob down here about that. He'll have his horses out here. So,
well, as a matter of fact, that's what I tell the horse owners. I said, don't let your horses run free, because if you get involved in a situation, you may make somebody pay for that, all right. You know, but by the same token, you're
losing the horse.
No, right after that, the neighbors are going to go around and close the open range.
Yeah.
And you've got the protection now, and don't rock the boat.
So the point is that it's actually all of this land around here is open range until you fence the cows out.
Yeah, you have to have a fence out law, right?
Yeah.
And even then, you have to build a 5-strand barbed wire fence or equal to.
To fence them out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that must be how Funks, you know, Funks used to herd their dairy cows all over the place all summer long.
Oh, yeah.
So were they on the open range thing?
Yeah,
that's helpful. Oh, Lyndon and I were discussing it, and that's how I went out and I dug up all this information.
Oh.
Because he was doing open range, even though he didn't know it was legal, you know. But then there was nobody else out here with it at the time. What the heck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cows always came home in time to milk, you know?
Yeah.
How many cows did he have down there?
I don't know.
I'm sure he
Of course, you know, where he's got me about these animal cruelty people, they were always thinking about cows with just frosting their noses and stuff, you know? But the guy who had the highest cream line milk production that's ever been made in this area was the guy, what was his name? He was down right at the Chena Pump Road. He was way down on Chena Pump Road. He had a bunch of old box cars.
heard about him.
What was his name? Anyway, they got all over him. But the health of the cow is directly related to the production, right?
Yeah, I should think so.
If they're not good, healthy cows, they won't make the production.
Yeah.
And he had the highest production Ryan and cream rind of anybody with Holstein cows in the area.
Interesting.
Does
it go that far over?
It does, I think.
I don't know if he had okayed yet or not down there, but then.
Let's see.
There's Miss Ring.
There's the row. There's Chena Pump.
Because he was also, you know, where the university got skiing on.
Oh, Jesus.
He must have been down on the hill there.
Somebody else has talked about him. I've heard about him.
Well, this is 53, so it should have been there.
Smith's Ranch from David.
I wouldn't think it would be Smith's Ranch. You know how Bernard got all those properties?
How?
During the Second World War, when the guys were getting drafted and going in the army, a lot of them went back and they sold the property to get money for the families to live on, you know, while they were gone. And Bunnell, and he paid for a whole bunch of them out here. And then some came back, and he told them he'd come back, and also give you pay me back my money, and you get your land, you know. And a lot of them did. But some of them didn't.
Some of them didn't.
And it was all of those that didn't. Is what he dedicated later on to university.
Oh, that's interesting.
Up and out. He was quite a guy.
Oh, he was Gustafson.
Huh?
John Gustafson.
Oh, Gustafson, yeah, he was there. But it was right off the Chena Pump Road.
Yeah.
And
Chatham, Colburn.
Oh, it was below the pump station.
Mary Lucy or some such.
They're really handy right out there. I've been right in here for his ass, but then I can't remember his name. But he always got me on that. The deep dudes were out there getting all over about the cows because they had frost in their noses, you know.
Right.
But those cows.
Did you have cows? Or horses?
No, I had horses. I
did. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And where did you get your horses?
I bought it from, what's her name over on Farmer's Loop?
The one, Louds?
No.
I mean, Wilds?
Oh, Dorothy Wilds?
That wasn't the name.
Or was it the woman with the Appaloosas?
I don't remember. I can't remember her name.
Hmm.
Well, let's see.
So how did your horses do in the winter?
Fine. I was raising them all the time.
Did you have any shelter at all for them?
I had that old Fawcett hut that the kennels had brought in there.
Uh-huh.
But the only time they'd ever get in there, if it was a wet, windy day,
they'd get out of the door. Yeah, all right.
They wouldn't stay in there.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the time. But, you know, I never had to trim a hoof.
Because they were always
running around. I was out on the ground for hay and stuff. And Mother Nature, a lot of horses don't trim their hooves, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And they stay in good shape.
Because they're always moving.
And the only time you got to trim hooves is if you do shoe them, you got to trim them to put shoes on.
Right.
You should run them open range.
How many horses did you have?
I had two, and then I took care of two more. Which, incidentally, now, out of that bunch, the two that I took care of, both got hit by cars.
Oh, because they were on the open range? That's the problem.
And the one was the one that Carl Wilson's hit.
Mm.
And then he got by the next day, you know.
Mm.
It didn't physically hurt him, but he had a heart attack.
Oh, wow. Scared him so much, huh?
Well, I don't know about that.
Wow.
How often was he? He wasn't upset because he's not a real good friend. You know?
Uh-huh. And you mean Carl died, not the horse?
Yeah. The horse died too. But Carl died the next day.
Oh, dear.
And when was that? Do you remember? Can you come up with a year? Because I kind of remember Harry reading about that.
I can't remember.
What was
I driving at that time?
Was it before Kennedy's assassination?
The guy that was never elected president. They stole ballot boxes in Illinois and California, and that's all that got him in there. And if they hadn't stolen those ballot boxes and they hadn't stolen that election, he never would have got shot.
Mm.
And the secondary thing about that, you know, that is retribution. Now, believe me. And the second thing about it, Watergate never would have occurred. And all Watergate was that the Republicans getting in there to find out what kind of dirty tricks the Democrats are going to pull now. That's the only reason Watergate ever occurred.
So
that's a matter of fact.
So Carl Wilson died of a heart attack after hitting your horse?
Yeah. It was the neighbor's horse, but then, you know.
It was probably in the news minor.
I'm sure.
I was trying to think, because it was after that one family was living at my house, which is why I got the horses in the first place, because the kids wanted some horses, so I got them, and we all rode, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But matter of fact, Lynn Funk, she used to go over and ride old Nick. And that old horse, at that time, he was 28 years old, and she could get him over 4 foot jumps.
Wow. I used to ride their horses, the Funk's horses.
Well, that was after that old white horse that they had, you know.
Well, I remember Smokey. And then they had a little Shetland named Mac.
Yeah. Anyway, she came over because she could get old Nick to do jumps and all the rodeo stuff, you know, the
barrel racing.
And then the Roos girl, she rode old Nick quite a bit. But both those were, and they were, that old brother, he'd hardly let a guy on. He'd let smaller, he'd let me on, but he wouldn't let bigger people on. And neither would the Shetland Cross pony that I had. And she wasn't letting anybody like but me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once she got bigger than me, she just laid out. And so did Nick, they just laid down. But Nick had been a pack horse for, what's his name? He used to do the packing off the curve way out on the other highway.
Busby.
Either Busby or there was two of them over there. I can't remember the one. But he'd been the pack horse and lived open range all his life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go out and crowd him in for the summer during the hunt season, and then they'd turn him loose again, you know.
Yeah.
And all the horses survived well over there, unless something got wrong with them, you know.
Right.
And I don't know this. Some of these ideas that people get today, I really don't know.
They're different ideas than they were when you were.
What's always tickled me about your Democrats, you know, old Bill Eden, you know, he came in on a plane out there one day, and I was out there for some reason. It's when he was governor, you know, and nobody met him, you know, and so I was out there and I said, hey, Billy, you need to ride to town, you know, and we were politically arch enemies, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
But you know, what got me about Egan, you know, he had the only store in Valdez, the only grocery store in Valdez when he went broke. So economically, he was an absolute disaster. He was a nice guy, hell of a nice guy, but he was just dumber than dirt. I mean, well, he was running the Constitution Convention out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there all the time. And you were right.
Were you testifying or just listening to what was going on?
Well, listening, and then I had a few comments, you know. But anyway, but we had a political science professor out there, a guy named, what's his name? Clear as a $3 bill. But anyway, nobody really knew that at the time. And he actually wrote that damn Constitution. And I don't like the state Constitution. I don't like it at all. And of course, Egan was trying to, what do you think about that? And he got mixed power, and that's what they put down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was extreme liberal. I mean, he did it ultra liberal. I mean, the university finally fired him, too.
Mm.
I'm not very enthusiastic about all this queer thing. I mean, they can't call themselves gay. Gay is a happy frame of mind. It has nothing to do with homosexuality.
It has changed the meaning of that word.
That's government dirt. Why anybody would even remotely use that term?
Yeah.
They want to call them homosexual or call them queer or call them. They're queer. They're different.
They're different,
you know.
That's for sure. Who else have we been wanting to know about here?
So
what do you know about Joe Kruger?
Well, I remember when after Carl, we kept missing gas.
Mm-hmm.
Kept missing gas, and so finally he went out and buried the tank, put a pump on it, put an inside shut off on it. But he left the old barrels up there that he had all tied together. He left that gas was in them there, and he sugared the crap out of it. Joe kept losing the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That sugar get into the 270. Yeah, I knew Joe from real. Pretty well.
Do you know whatever happened to him? Because he was still around when we moved out here, but not, I don't remember ever hearing anything more about him.
Well, he sold the place to whoever, you know, later on.
Yeah.
And he went back in the States somewhere, I think.
Okay.
And it didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm. Did you spend much time with him?
Not very much.
You didn't know much more about him than the salting?
Well, he had the greenhouse out there, and all that.
Oh.
Remember, out there at the front, by the highway?
Was that a greenhouse he sold plants out of?
I don't know.
Oh, there's wonderful stories about his greenhouse. I'll have to find
out. But I don't know that he ever did make any money out of that, but then, you know.
His methods didn't seem to have been orthodox, and I doubt if he made any money out of it from the stories some of the others have told.
I don't think I ever ate anything out of there, but then.
Yeah, somebody talked about him. Who else? There were a bunch of people that are still around. What about Everett Lindstrand?
Carl Lindstrand?
Carl Lindstrand.
Oh, yeah. Carl's a nice old guy.
What did you know about him?
Somebody claimed that he
used to walk across the road to Tilly's house all the time, and she helped him out a lot.
Well, Beatrice, too. Beatrice said that she figured Carl could smell dinner when she started it.
Well, right. But
somebody said that he had to do with surveying this area initially. I think it was either George or Walter mentioned that.
Well, that very well could be, you know.
And been on the crew.
But see who else is.
Henry Brockman. Did you buy eggs from Tilly or Henry and
Tilly? No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. How about when my Uncle Earl was here? Do you remember anything about him when he homesteaded?
No, down that swamp, down there.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good piece.
And Colby Everhart was where donkeys are.
Yeah.
Well, right. I don't know whether Mrs. Donkey said
that. Well, that was not ever.
That was Walter's brother?
No,
That was Walter's.
That's
brother.
Walter Benet. Yeah. And he bought that. He bought the Everhart. Bought that from Benet.
Yeah, right.
And that was Tilly's daughter. Mm-hmm. Daughter's husband, you know.
Oh, okay.
And of course,
what about John Colina too?
Oh yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, I got his patent for him.
I went
up and cleared the land and fired it the first time for him. Got him his title.
Well, he was sort of crippled up or a little bit of a hunchback. What was his
name? No, he wasn't. No, Colina wasn't.
Oh, I thought he had some kind of a...
He had a little metal problem because...
He was in the Second World War,
and he came with it.
Battle fatigue.
Yeah, battle fatigue, you know. He got way behind the German lines at one time down there, and he was running around with a jeep doing something. I was trying to roll wine bottles or something, you know. He was back in there, and he came out and he captured a whole bunch of Germans and brought them back down with him.
When he went on his wine run.
I think he's still alive. He was living in town, but. Remember that old international cat that Berkey had that he was carrying the land with, and he didn't have a good radiator, so he had this barrel sitting up on the top of it filled with water, and it was leaking all the time, but he'd fill the barrel and it tied into the radiator system so it could cool the
tractor. Keep the tractor cool? Oh, that was clever. Like a 50-gallon drum type of barrel?
Yeah.
What was his work? Lee mentioned it, but I forgot.
He was an airplane mechanic, I think.
Okay, that sounds right.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what's her name? Where are we here now?
Here's Berkey.
Okay, all right, back up this way. What the heck is it?
Louds?
Eshel Road.
Eshel? Gambles?
Gambles, yeah.
Well, Eshel's over here a ways.
There's Dad.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have Gambles on here. Gambles would be over here. Good. So did Gambles buy their homestead?
Oh, I thought they homestead. A lot of these people never.
Well, there's some empty spaces.
Yeah, and they never proved up. A lot of them didn't prove up. Their fire was on there. If you had applied, your name got on here.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's the original. Okay.
That's the same thing with that. Right there, mine.
This is Bridell.
Ace Metcalf. Now, he never approved up. And who else was it down here that never did? Tell us, he never did.
How about this Murdy Clark? Did you know him?
He never proved up either. No, that's going down, down into...
Mel down. Jackson, did he prove up?
Oh, yeah. Mel did, and O'Leary did.
Ackerman
did.
And me.
Okay, John Cole was farther out.
Bought that homestead.
Oh, okay. And
then he originally had homesteaded somewhere up in here. He and Jim Day. Oh, James R. Day, yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading
James,
he
had filed together, had filed on that. I don't know how Jim got it on under his name. But then Jim sold that out and brought over there.
They apparently homesteaded below the road, from what Betty was saying.
Well,
John Day's homestead was here.
Yeah, he never proved that either.
Are you sure about that? Because that house that they built has been sold and resold.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That wasn't a homestead, though. That was a home site.
That John Day was on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was on.
Because, see, he was right above Charlie May's place. Because we used to go out there and play cards with them.
Up 9 Mile Hill?
No, it was beyond that. It was
beyond.
Where Foxborough Lane is.
Because that road, you know, after it goes through my place here, it just swings up, and it just generally runs around along a line like mm-hmm. this, and goes like this.
Yeah.
Well, John, Cole, yeah, he bought Ackerman's place.
Oh. Because that's Nine Mile Hill right there.
Yeah, but then they've got a couple of roads that goes up here.
Because then now they have something called John Colvin.
And that goes in about here, you know, somewhere. But the road does swing up about like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then further out, there was a homestead out there that they put up for public auction. And everybody went and missed it. They had to file it, and then they had a drawing for the whole mm-hmm. guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine filed it, and then that was out where the truck outfit is, where right there at the end of the hill. And Al went, he was the guy that won it first, you know. And then the truck outfit is just the next property on beyond what Al had.
Mm.
And Al went, he took bankruptcy, five times in about 4 years.
My gosh.
But
see, he was a real good businessman, huh?
He formed corporations and get them up and borrow a bunch of money and then pull it out.
Wow!
It kind of got me because he had a little store out there, you know, there for a while, and later on, the other kids. Well, it's the store that's out there now. It's not St. Billy's.
Valley Center. That store.
No, the one that's out there, Kenmore.
Oh yeah, but not really.
Yeah, never has been. Well, it has been successful a couple of times, but
then it's cash.
Unless it gets out of a family thing, you know, then it won't come
to
his mind. But anyway, I was in the store there, and this guy come in, he looked familiar, and I got to thinking, yeah, that's how it went, you know. And then he came over and looked at me, and he couldn't remember who I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about that was originally his place, all that kind of stuff. And I asked him, I said, how many places have you been bankrupt here lately? I just tried to ask him, you know.
Did he laugh?
He kind of cried when he left.
I
knew his history in the area.
Yeah.
Someplace out in here on the north side of the road, going uphill, there used to be a little log cabin. I can't remember what's on beyond that. There's something much more recent on beyond.
That was an O'Leary place.
Was it? Could be.
Yeah. It was just above the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And his niece, I think, has what's left of the place. They've subdivided quite a bit of that now.
Mm-hmm.
But they back in this back 40, nobody's cut a tree back in there for years. Jackson's place both. And that's a mistake getting ready to go happen. And all it takes is anything. If that ever catches on fire, of course I don't want any trees within 100 feet of my house. Anywhere a tree can fall and hit my house, I don't want them that far away.
So this is not Chena Hot Springs Road as it is now.
No, this is
Chena Hot Springs Road.
It turns off right there at
it's the same right up there. Because originally it was right on this line here. It came down here.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the corner there. And went down. And then they made the cutoff. And the cutoff starts... Well, but right here at the corner of the maze, where's
Bemay is?
Oh, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right from that corner, and then it angles down across like this and comes back.
Yeah, here's his place, and it goes right around that.
And his house is up in that corner, that place,
mm-hmm.
right? And it just goes past the house, and then it angles down and comes into mine like this.
What is this word here?
Oh, C. Eberhardt, I think.
Cody Eberhardt. Okay.
What do you know about, what was the other name I saw here I wanted to ask about?
McQuinn?
Yeah, Bob McQuinn.
Well, we discussed him already. Crazy McQuinn, right?
Well, I missed that.
Because where was his deal?
Well, he was a painter, though, incidentally, a house painter.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you go by a place where he was working like this,
You'd think there was five guys in that room, and he'd be out there talking to himself and then swabbing paint like crazy. He was a good painter, you know.
That's what they say about painting, yeah. Huh? Not really good for your brain. But he proved up on his homestead?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, that's where I will be clearing and stuff for him, too, you know.
Oh,
well, okay.
Okay,
well.
And far background. Got a crop in for him. Never got paid for it. I've got a little gasoline out of the deal.
No sugar in it, huh?
Yeah, right.
Charlie Ward, I did the same thing with him. Matter of fact, Jim Day and I were cutting firewood off of that place. Because he was quite needing rid of all the bonfires and stuff. And we were cutting firewood. We'd go up there with 6x and knock out 3/4 of firewood up on the trucks, cut, split, and loaded, and delivered all in 3 hours.
Wow, you got a lot of energy.
It's some of the best cutting. The trees have been bound almost about a year.
Oh, now. So they're easy
and
to go through.
It's easy to split and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, primarily spruce, you know, and there were some birds. But we'd go up there and do that. We'd deliver it over to Tilly, and we'd go off down the road, you know, like that. But 3 hours.
Wow.
3 hours. We always took it, between us, we took 6 chainsaws. And if that chainsaw wasn't throwing chips, it got put in the truck and another one got gotten out.
Oh, that was a good way to do it.
The only way to do it. Anybody that's a serious woodcutter always carries at least 3 saws per person.
Yeah. Now, you haven't said anything yet about working on surveying on Chinook Hot Springs.
Well, that was way out, though. That was after 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even on this map. You know, it's way out here. But
around where tax was.
There was an outfit out of Mississippi actually got the
engineering
contract, and then what was that guy here in town that was a local surveying outfit? I can't remember his name, but he hired me to haul the surveyors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
build a road.
Pioneer
the whole line.
Yeah. Okay.
And, but out there, you know, when you go up against the hills, you know, when you get out on after 20 miles, you get up against the hills. Well, if you get right up close to the foot of the hill, that's all saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you're right there from the green trail, you start going down the road.
Yeah.
Well, we went down below down there, and we picked up the river road.
Mm-hmm.
River route. You stay close to the river, you got it's all good, solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, and I wouldn't even haul those surveyors, or the engineers, I wouldn't even haul them up against that hill. I took them back there a couple of times, and we showed them what the swamp is, you know. And I says, no, you don't want to build a road back here.
Mm-hmm.
Stay down close to the river. And that's the reason they did the channel changes and all that stuff down the river, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good road. And effectively, just no maintenance, you know.
Down along the, off of Grange Hall Road?
Well, you go down a ways, or, well, you...
Past Grange Hall.
About the time you go into Park Street, you know, that's where we first started. We engineered the other part just to tie it in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on up the springs, and then Carl Wilson got on the act with me also, and Carl did a lot of the upper end clearing on that, you know, later on next year. But we had a helicopter in there, so you fly up to the benchmark on top of that stupid mountain up there. But anyway, this French built helicopter could carry 4 or 5 guys, had to be besides the pilot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an Alouette, but at that time it had the altitude record in the world. But we were sitting down on top of that mountain up there, tying in, they call it temporary benchmark, PBMs.
Oh, yeah.
And you put in the PBMs first, and you work off of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were setting those PBMs and locating them, you know. And you got up on top of the hill. And they had this transit out, and they had 3 guys out there holding the legs of the
because the wind was so bad?
The wind was so bad that it wouldn't hold still. So there was the 3 of us doing big ballast up there on the base legs.
Wow.
And he shot in all those TVMs. And then on the helicopter, staying there, you know. And he was hanging on one ski, sitting on the hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And the other in the air, and having a flight, and he was indicating 75 knots.
Wow.
That's how windy it was when we were up there.
Wow.
That always got me on that one.
Did you have any near misses with bears on your homestead?
Not too much. That's soon after I got out here, you know. They broke into my cabin 4 or 5 times, and, mm-hmm. and I decided that, never while I was there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vendetta. I went down that valley out there. I just started killing bears. I mean, uh-huh. In the wintertime, I'd go out and I'd just see the steam come out.
Oh,
you know,
killing
them again. You poke them with a stick, and believe me, you can rouse them up enough that they come out. They're real groggy, and they're coming out. Boom, and you blow them in the head, and you put them back in the hole. I mean,
uh-huh.
I didn't have any problem at all bears after that.
And yeah, I bet.
There never has been any bear around here in the country.
Where's that at?
Well, this would be on Nordale, and Nordale wasn't there at the time.
Oh, it
should be a B there.
You hit apple trees there?
I know, that's why I wondered what you remembered about him.
Then he brought his niece up,
mm-hmm.
and his niece stayed there with him in later years. But it crossed. Yeah, that was a home site, I think.
Could have been. He didn't have a big truck.
Because mm-hmm. then Billburn came in later in the...
Sold part of it to Harold.
Yeah.
And part of it to Severance.
Oh yeah, Severance. Right.
Yeah, there's.
I'm not good on names to start with, so I got to look and see the name.
It really helps.
Well, he had quite a reputation as a horticulturalist, I guess you would say. But he was. I think he was gone. Do you have any idea?
He was still here after I homesteaded.
For how long?
That's
the question. Yeah. If he was still down there, we never heard of him. Now, Ann Lyle talks about going down and visiting with him.
Mm-hmm. When she was...
When the kids were small.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Her kids were small. But I have no idea. I don't think I've ever been able to find out when he left. We used to come and go down
you guys rode me, go over and go down to his place.
Mm-hmm.
We'd come down here and took the old winter trail. Of course, he was right on the old winter trail.
Yeah, it would have been.
And right, the winter trail was right here. It shows it here, right below. But that's no longer a trail. That is not a legal trail.
The old winter trail isn't?
It is not a legal trail.
Hmm.
And that's what we all heard about, you know, because when they built Chena Hot Springs Road, they didn't pay us for it.
Yeah.
And RS 2477 says you may move a road as long as you make it equal to or better than for commercial purposes. So the federal government moved that damn road from down there up to there.
And so then
that got abandoned?
That's gone. Right?
Remember,
the base cut it off. They wouldn't even let people go through there after this was built.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You
remember that?
Oh, yeah, I heard
it. I mean, of course, we all screwed around and used that trail, but nonetheless, it was not a legal trail even then.
Yeah.
As you get out here on Nordale, you'll see a trail that cuts off like this and goes headed out across the flats here.
Mm-hmm.
That one, the angle's down like that.
Yeah.
I made that with a D9. I was doing land clearing for, what's his name? No big fat guy. He farmed a lot, big potato farmer. What was his name? It was Dick Odd, and I was running the 9 clearing for him.
Hmm.
And I was clearing land over here. Well, matter of fact, right there. Where are we here? Yeah, I cleared all that at the trailer court, all that ground there. Mm-hmm. I cleared all that with that knife, and I was having to walk it.
That's on Mushlers?
No, it's later on. What's his name? Their names now? They still got part of it. The family. No. Beg your pardon.
You're not thinking Rainiers.
No.
Okay.
Well, we did some of that too. We were built for everybody, and some of them got paid for, some of them didn't.
Was Johnston there?
They don't even have old Higgins homestead.
Not the site.
Oh, yeah, Higgins homestead right there. Yep. Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
The Solics. Kasalik's,
yeah. Kasalik's bought, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also had bought the Butler homestead.
Yeah, I got that over there.
And we cleared it for him. We cleared it all the way down.
He wanted to sell us some of that property, but I don't know if that was too much slap.
Well, after I cleared it, it got better about quite a bit, you know. It took a while to dry out. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I was walking that track, and I walked down there, and I dropped down, and I was down across here because I cut, didn't cross that creek. Barely did so many potholes down here, and I'd come up to a pothole, and you get into the trees, you can't see ahead,
mm-hmm.
so you just look at the back, you keep a straight line. Once you look at that color down there, it's
yeah.
just a straight line.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's because I was looking, making a straight line, and when I got to the end of the trees, I just looked backwards and stayed, maintained a straight
right,
line.
Right.
Well, I get up those little slopes that were down in there, you know, and
yeah.
I come up to those, and I just go around the edges of it, and pick up my backside and go on, you know.
Oh, so that's why the trail has these little...
Well, yeah, that's way up after, way up past all you guys out here.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'd take a, when I first went in there, I'd take a sight on, I knew whose house it was to go up there, you know, and I'd aim at
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I navigated.
Like a sailor.
And, yeah. And anyway, the next year after Dick and I both quit because Paul Albert. Well, Paul wouldn't maintain the cap. We used up all our grease and all of our oil and stuff, you know, like on that cap, and he wouldn't get us a new cutting edge for the bottom and all that kind of stuff. And he's right, just about a month before we quit, Paul sent me to town to get cable for the blade. He'd always go down and buy a half-inch cable instead of 5/8, which was supposed to be in it.
Uh-huh.
And all he had to do was just sharpen off the blade and it'd break the cable.
Uh-huh.
And so he sent me to town to get cable, and I bought a whole spool of 5/8 cable. Anyway, this next year, and when I hung it up, I mean, just, when you break cable in those cable blades like that, it'll go into school on the front of the tractor.
It'll
just break that little piece.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then if you've got the spool up there to work, you just pull it out.
Yeah.
Pull the shield
yeah.
and shove it back in and rewind
uh-huh.
it down. And, you know, the next year, this Albert's own nephew or something was running the cat, and he was following my trail. You can see the road trail on the other side. He just went right out through that dumb swamp and went down into Birdie Cat, and all you could see was the one corner of the blade sticking out of the ground.
I think that story is in somebody's
interview.
Yeah, right.
And then Dick Lodd would have gotten it out with his D6. He had a winch on the D6.
Yeah.
And he had the Birdie, he had it moving, and Paul went down and threw a bunch of logs in front of it to ramp it up.
Mr. Butchard, I think, came upon somebody that lived up closer to the road. They were a couple of guys who were woodcutters or something like that.
That's the section.
And
who did it? Betcher?
Betcher, well, he...
That must have been
he was a neighbor, and he was going up there for some reason, and I think discovered the body or something.
I think that was
in a newspaper item.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Pardon?
What year was that?
No, I don't know. I can. It maybe is in some of those interviews. I don't know. If I find it, I'll let you know. But I think it was pretty early.
My roommate at college, after I left the university, he committed suicide the next year. I've had a bunch of friends of mine that committed suicide.
Wow.
Who else did I? I try to forget that.
Bernard O'Leary, did you ask about him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he talked about him. They were the woodcutters.
He used to, later on after the road was built, he'd come out to get wood, but he never used the road, he always used a trail. And he'd sneak into, because they were using chains and stuff like that, and he didn't want to fight the hills and stuff, he'd still use the winter trail in the wintertime, and he'd bring a bunch of natives out there, of course that part native too, they were very sharp. He'd bring up a bunch of natives, and he always bring a bunch of beer, but they wouldn't give me beer until after they loaded all the trucks completely full. And they had a party, then they'd take off the next morning, and invariably they'd get over right to Beckett's place, and there used to be a glacier that went down across the trail.
Oh, from the creek?
It was up above the creek. I don't know where that glacier came from, but it came right out of the front of the hill down here. And it used to go clear down across the winter trail. Well, they get up there in their trucks and get on that ice, and they'd slide off, and then they'd get all screwed up. Well, then Bernard had an old RD6, which the original D6 was a three-cylinder, same as a D8, except only three of them. And he had this old RD6, and it had a bad steering clutch in it, but it ran good. So they'd walk, one of them to walk back up and get a hold of me, and I'd go over and I'd start up that old RD, and I'd go down the trail and go walk it over here and get pull them all through over down at Bill Wilbur's. And then they could make it all the way to town, then I would walk the cat back home again.
They just keep going on the trail.
So they could drive a cat on that trail at that time.
Oh, in the wintertime.
In the wintertime,
And you can get over there.
That's a lot shorter.
What hole is it?
Where did it come out?
Well, it came out down the what the hell's the name of the road here? It's on the base. Right at the cemetery, yeah.
Trainer Gate Road?
There was a homestead. Isabel.
Well, it's right there where the cemetery is now,
At the base of Birch Hill?
Yeah, right at the base of Birch Hill. It came out right there. What is the name of that road? They don't even have it on here.
Northern one.
But it was a named road at that time.
Well, that name has been in the news lately because I think there now is an official street sign having to do with the subdivision or something.
No, but I think it's still that same name.
You mean where that
new huge?
You go right by there. They got that.
North of that.
They got right that that cement thing that holds the put the bodies in and stuff.
Mausoleum.
It's right below that. It goes in. But anyway, they used to come out there, and then all they had to do was just go down here. They were all in that bunch in the Grail subdivision. They were all right there in that corner down there.
I wonder if you can still see the trail entrance if it's all overgrown, where it's there.
Yeah. Well, Grimmins, before the Second World War, Grimmins had a homestead right there where the base is. All it. And then when they bought it, they bought his land and gave him rights to another homestead out. Where is it at? It was before this map was made. It's on Farmer Lee. North Hill sits right there close. Oh, yeah, Paul Grimmins right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they got more than a section. See, he got two sections. And then North Hill did. Of course, what they call Nordale Road now, the real name of that is Nordale, over here. Tonsa.
Nordale which?
It was a hyphenated name, Nordale hyphen Tonset.
Oh,
and the old Tonset homestead. Do you remember Tonset? Tonset was the city clerk.
Yeah, yes, I do remember that name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and
No, I had never heard that.
And that was one of the old original homesteads. And they offered to sell me that whole 320-acre homestead for $3,500, and I never got around to it to pay. They had sold to another guy for
$4,500. Oh, wow. What a deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I don't know all these. Where is that? It should be on here, because it 53, that may have been after they sold it. Let's see. Where the heck are they? Well, it's got to be. Where's Nordale? There's Nordale, so is this.
This is what Nordale was down here.
Well, then it's back over here.
Yeah, it actually swings over to the east a little bit.
That was an old patented homestead. Way back. Because it's miner's bad. Homestead is bad.
Pardon? Where did you get this?
The original copy was left in our old house.
Huh. Oh, and then you just took it down to the
blue had copies made, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'll be darned, of course, that would be.
But
Nordale does a funny thing right here. It swings. They may even pick up the line again.
Nordale
but
swings
should be in there.
East a little bit.
But it was right down where
Where
PD goes across this way. And then it's. What's that other road that goes in over there? Tonson. There we are. And now they've named that road Tonson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, there's T.H. Thomas. See, he had this homestead that went across the river.
Right.
And went this and had two sections down there.
Right.
Was he another one of the people that the military bought out?
No. No, there wasn't even out here,
But you said that one guy got bought out.
It seems to me Nordale's also had one of the homesteads there, and that's when they got the big homestead out here. I think nearly all these that had those two-section homesteads out in here, nearly all those people were originally homesteaded back in here.
Because it sounds like they did that to sweeten the deal. Here, we'll give you two sections instead of one.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And that's Bill Gaffney was the one that started all that.
Yeah. Arthur Brown. This was the jeweler,
Brown's Hill,
Brown's Hill, But he had a jewelry store on the corner of Cushman and Second, as I remember.
Yeah.
Well, he entered. He's in some of these stories, too, because he apparently is quite a character.
Yeah.
Hmm. You'll get all these stories eventually, Bob, if you're interested.
I was driving a school bus, and I got down to Badgers. Where the heck is Badgers somewhere down here? It's before you get to North Pole.
Well, Badger may be off of this.
Well, no, it's just right on the road. Badger homestead.
Well, here.
It would be along the river.
No, this must
right
be.
Right here.
There you go.
That's Badger Road right here.
Yeah, there's Nordale. That's past that, past Grimans.
Yeah, this is all Badger Road.
Huh.
See, this
is right there by where the Coos place is. I bet it's right in here, then, I'll bet you. Anyway, I was driving a school bus, and I was training a new driver, and he was driving. And it was wintertime. They had the old floor off the sloughs up across the road.
Oh, wow.
Back like these, you know. We had a whole bunch of kids, you know. And I kept telling them to stay on it.